Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy, 6:34, Thursday night in Lansing. Looks like the rain has passed us for now. In fact, the radar, it appeared that it was just a little tiny area of major rain, and now it's looks like it's all gone. So let's get another take on this effort by State Representative Mike Shirkey to increase this 10% cap on electricity competition in Michigan from one of the utilities that dominate the state. Dan Bishop is the Public Information Director for Consumers Energy, and he joins me now. Dan, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. We appreciate the chance to provide our perspective on this.
You know, when we usually talk, it's following some kind of extreme weather-related power outage, although after the storm that just passed here, maybe that would be a more appropriate topic to discuss.
Well, you don't know. I mean, it was pretty intense driving from Jackson to Mason this evening.
So let's get to it. Critics of this current structure that we have here in the state of our utility system would say that Consumers Energy and DTE have a virtual monopoly on the energy market in Michigan. Considering your customer base, how is that not the case?
Well, I think it's helpful for listeners to think about, the current law we have in place, Mike. And this was passed back in 2008. It was the product of a couple of years of pretty intense discussion, debate. All kinds of folks showed up in the legislature to talk about the need for reform. Prior to this bill, anybody could leave, basically. You had basically full choice, and in a situation like that, it can create havoc in terms of utilities engaging in long-term planning to provide the reliable supplies we need. As it turned out, by the time the choice bill was passed back in 2008, only 3% of our load was served by alternative suppliers. We agreed to make it the 10% seemed to be a reasonable goal in the compromise legislation, in addition to all the other good things that the law is doing for Michigan. So that was a reasonable agreement then. It's in place now. Our concern with the Shirkey bill is the massive cost shift that would occur if that were to go forward.
Well, what about the fact that we now have thousands of Michigan businesses that want to go to another utility? They can't get out of their tie to Consumers Energy because of the cap. Do you think the cap should be lifted at least a little bit?
Well, we don't think so, because if that were to change, you're talking about a handful of winners, basically high margin, larger companies who would be served, again, ironically, by out-of-state power marketers. These are companies based in Baltimore or Washington. They don't pay any taxes in Michigan. They essentially don't have any employees in Michigan. Unlike the utilities here, they have, we have a legal obligation to serve all customers. We're involved in our communities. So these would be companies that, want to come in, grab a piece of the market, and basically have no other societal or tax obligations to the state of Michigan. So our concern is protecting the vast majority of customers. You know, we've got 1.8 million. The vast majority, would be stuck with even higher cost, $400 million. If this bill were to go forward.
So can you explain why that would be exactly?
Sure can. So utilities have these big infrastructure systems to make sure we have reliable electricity 24/7. You're talking about power plants. You're talking about multi-year, 20, 30-year power contracts with third-party suppliers, all kinds of safety equipment to serve customers. And these are simply non-negotiable costs. Clean air mandates from different levels of government, and those costs have to be paid whether you're serving 100% of the market or 90% or some lesser percentage. So, we just don't want to see our customers get hit with a massive cost increase.
I'm talking to Dan Bishop, Public Information Director for Consumers Energy. So these businesses, have they let you know why they want to leave Consumers Energy? Is it always based on price, or are they sometimes not happy with the service they're getting?
No, I think there's general satisfaction, Mike, with the quality of the service, the reliability of the service, the the relationship they have with our employees. You know, we understand the cost issue. So we do what we can on our end. You know, Consumers Energy is one of the very leanest and most efficient utilities in the country. You know, just as an example, we've got about 75,000 employees, Mike, serving 1.8 million electric customers. When I joined many, many years ago, we had 12,000 employees serving a smaller number of customers. So we've gotten increasingly efficient on our end, doing our best to hold down our cost. We do encourage people to take advantage of energy efficiency programs.
So, but it does amount to these outside of utilities, they're offering a cost that is lower than Consumers Energy.
Sure, because they don't have the legal obligation to serve our customers. And, you know, you're talking about seniors, the poor, you know, different aspects like that.
Is there any way to allow businesses to have more options without raising the cost on individual customers?
Those fixed costs must be paid, so there's not a there's not a simple solution. That's why the negotiated compromise in the current energy law makes so much sense. It provided choice for those who wanted it, keeping in mind only 3% had elected choice at that time, and protection for the vast majority who simply want to stay with their utility company. Now, if we could switch for just a moment, Mike, and think about natural gas. You know, we've got 1.7 million natural gas customers. All natural gas customers in the state have choice. It's a different fuel. It's a different commodity. There are different physical elements that make gas choice possible that simply do not make electric choice possible.
Representative Shirky said that he himself was not personally lobbied by any outside utility to pursue this legislation. Although, do you know which companies are pushing for this cap to be lifted?
Yeah, they're very public. I mean, they put out news releases just like everybody else. But the Constellation out of Baltimore is one of the more aggressive companies that that is active and would love to come into Michigan and grab a piece of the market. There are companies out there. Just a little historical perspective. You know, this issue is certainly not new. And many states that went in a more in a deregulation route are very unhappy with it and are heading back to a more regulated traditional model of providing electric service. So there's a lot of unhappiness with big rate increases, customer dissatisfaction. So we think the model that Michigan has makes sense in the current law, which was reviewed last fall, is really working well, and that's what the legislative leadership is saying.
If this bill moves ahead and there is discussion on adjusting the cap, at least incrementally, do you think potentially we could move it 1% or 2% a year, just depending on demand and adjusting it that way?
I don't see this bill having any traction, Mike. You know, the legislative leadership is already indicating publicly this thing has no traction. It only had nine co-sponsors. There was an extensive review last fall, really, where 60 different organizations showed up to look at that review of the law. Following that extensive review, the leadership said, hey, it's working well, working as intended. There's not a need to change it at this time. So we're disappointed that Representative Shirky has gone in this direction. We think this was an imprudent action, and we simply don't want to see these massive costs shift onto our customers.
Is the answer then that permanently we need to have Consumers Energy and DTE as the two dominant and basically the top and most controlling utilities in the state for the future, for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think another way to think about that, Mike, is, you know, what has really produced the most benefit for the free enterprise system, and the traditional regulated utility model with some element of choice provides the best in terms of keeping energy costs as low as possible, offering choice for those who can elect that, but also ensuring that utilities have the stability they need to make long-term plans. Because at the end of the day, you know, what do people want from their utility? They want to be able to turn that switch and the light works. They want safe power. They want power restored quickly after a storm. and that's where the vast majority of the customers, and yeah, that's really who we're speaking for.
You say the natural gas end of things, that it does not have any kind of a cap in place. How is that? How do you expect that industry to develop? I mean, I guess we're going to see some big growth in that likely in the coming years here, that is.
Yeah, that's one of the more exciting stories in this country. As you know, Mike, is this phenomenal amount of natural gas that is being discovered and is driving down heating costs. You know, the warm winter saved our typical homeowner about $94 this winter, and we will shortly be announcing substantial gas fuel savings for our 1.7 million customers. So, you know, you talk about what can help economic growth and positive economic activity. America is sitting on a gold mine when it comes to natural gas. It's a native domestic fuel. We don't have to buy it from anybody else, and it's going to be a huge factor in our economic future.
Dan Bishop, Public Information Director for Consumers Energy. Dan, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
We always appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.